July the 28th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic, Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Islam Climate for Business Success. Lecturer, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. If you have missed any of the talk, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open up with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, I want to thank our beloved brother technician, Eugene Muhammad, who filled in for me yesterday. So I was in meetings and I got back real late. So I want to thank that brother. May Allah continue to bless him for his good work. This evening, okay, the working poor. Zakat is for the needy and the poor, from poor people. In your same situation, there is no obligation to the idle and lazy poor who wants zakat. Most of our supporters are people who are poor, but they give the cat. Poor people want to help pay the rent and the light for the masjid. They want to help the school. They want to help propagation. What justification is there for us to take from a brother who has no more education than this other brother and has no more physical ability than this other brother and work for a living? What justification do we have to give this poor working brother money to the lazy poor? This poor working brother will not accept that there is no work. He will go and find work. He will get a bucket and a rag and will ask people, can he wash their cars? He comes back and gives to charity. He will eat a little, spend a little, and will put something in the zakat. What right do we have to take from the brother and give it to another brother who will not work for a living? The industrialist poor brothers will have children that he is taking care of, but the other lazy brother has children and is not taking care of them, and he is not loyal to anyone, but he wants zakat. So the brother needs to be morally redeemed first. As long as we are a poor community, we have to see all of our people. We African-American people are a poor people. We have some people who are doing well, and we know that, but group-wise, we are poor. No matter how well some of us are doing, as a people, we are mostly idle and poor. Until that change, I will be protesting the poor from the poor, mostly coming from poor people. I have an obligation to spend as those contributors want me to spend. They did not give their zakat to the lazy. These believers, Muslims, are trusting that their imam will not take care of lazy people with their money. They have sacrificed if they who give in charity to help the idle and lazy, they have to many like that all around them. They do not have to send money for that. I do not mean to disrespect any of you and your dignified poverty. Imams do not be satisfied receiving no income except from charity. If you want more education and think that you need to go back to school, you should do that. We have helped some imams, and they have done well. We have helped some brothers and sisters who are not imams. We are helping them, some of us, achieve more. Some of you imams are doing well in education, business, and other professions. We have to make sure that what we have is spent to get the best results for our overall interest. So we spend on people who show us their examples, pardon me, that they are really honest and hardworking and are really going to make a contribution if they can get the necessary assistance. Our successful business people should help us inform our brothers and sisters to improve their eligibility for financial assistance. We are not in the business of taking people who have nothing materially and putting them into some materially good situation. We can't do that. And that never will be the master's role. The master's role is only to address the need in our spirit and the need in our thinking. We call people to a disposition within ourselves that will mean success in this life and in the hereafter. The obligation on the imam is to address the spirit and the thinking. You will not believe until your inclination follow what I have come with, Muhammad, the last prophet. I would like to see us grow with more appreciation for this religion as the religion of successful people. Allah says, and the believers must win through. The believers must triumph because what they believe in is productive. So this is what we have to be missing, has been missing. So we have been misdirected and made afraid to talk about investing for achievement. We want achievements. We want a continuous life. Allah the Merciful says to the Prophet, when you finish one thing, get involved productively in something else. When we finish one thing, don't accept to be idle. Allah has given us opportunities and has provided the necessary resources. What will be done with opportunity depend on donations within and also the circumstances without inside of us. Our person, sometimes the circumstances without are good, but the conditions within are bad. Therefore, we cannot get benefit. Sometimes the conditions within are good and the conditions without are bad, and we can't get the benefit. So one condition are right within, maybe we will be stopping today, but we will never accept to be quartered. I'm glad that I was born in the environment where people had faith in themselves. My father did not believe in lying around, vegetating, or turning into dust. My parents did not accept to be idle. They believed that they could make it. I heard my mother, Clara Muhammad, says, well, I don't know how long we will have what we've got, but I know that I can get out here. If I have to and wish an iron, wash an iron, and take care of our people's clothing, my mother was not going to accept that she was going to set somewhere and die because no one would give her something. She would say, I know I can make it. Spirit went into me, into us. My father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I do not have to tell you about him. Everyone knows him. He told us to do for self. I'm never ready to quit, but I am patient. I want to be very patient. I'd like to see where I'm going. I don't like to move in the dark. I'm aware, however, that being slow or precautionating, or putting off all tomorrows what I should be doing today is a problem and a defect. Yet, I do not move too fast in certain situations. We will rise ourselves up by our own work effort and by our obedience to Allah. Steadily, we will rise up out of poverty and out of the images of a people complaining and begging. Our spirit will not let us be a people depending on others for our tomorrow. I don't want you to get lost in material-mindedness, but Allah has inspired me. I do believe the work for the righteous establishment, for strong business, for those strong institutions needed in community life. We want to be a strong industrial people who can make the state Satan material accomplishment in his life. So we must keep it in mind. All is made possible by merciful Allah. Isn't it wonderful to see as a part of religion the material accomplishments? All Allah asks for us is to keep the taqwa, keep the fear and the obedience to him. Those who have accomplished will be over those who have no accomplishments. Those who have material achievement will be over those who have no material achievement. We don't want to be slaves to people of material means. Malcolm X had a way of dealing with the white man when the white man would be tightening the screws on him. Malcolm would say, why don't you just ask yourself, what do you want? He would then say, well, that is what I want. Now I will add, and we was in halal, and we wanted halal. So that is to say, pardon me, that we want only what is lawful. I'm sure that all of us are aware of the burden on us and the people recklessly, no matter how successful we are individually. I am sure all of us are aware of the image given blacks, that we waste our resources, that we fear to invest, that we are inclined to gamble more than to use our intelligence and good logic to plan for a successful life, that we will give our monies to riskful situations. The Muslim African American blacks must accept the Muslim responsibility to work for the life of the hereafter and also for the life here and now. Don't be afraid to invest. We are not going to always be successful, but sincerely believing in Allah, we see an investment that is proper for Muslims according to our intelligence, and we should not be afraid. If we fail, we try and we try again, we will never give up and never accept that we are not responsible. Make the calculated moves with knowledge. Get knowledge of the situation before you invest. Be sure that you have researched and studied the matter. Then go on and have the courage to invest. Success belongs to the people who have that courage. If you invest nothing, then you get nothing. Isn't that common sense? And isn't that what we have been told? If you put nothing in, then you get nothing out. Some of us cannot even be farmer anymore. We are afraid that the seed won't come up. Our fathers and mothers had the faith in plants. They would plant and accept the harvest and work for a harvest. We are to be as they were, invest some things into the world in order to get something out of the world. If you are not in a position to invest, then work at getting yourself into position to make an investment. What is it that Allah tells us over and over again in the Quran? It is to spend. Do you know what that means most of the time? It means to invest. It is to invest today for the good tomorrow, but do it loving Allah and obeying Him. Thus situated, Allah assures us that we will be successful. Those who study the financial situation of the African American as a people are saying that we are a great consumer and spender, but force of habit, we give our resources and the best opportunities to other people. We make other people rich, our race poor and dependent. It is a common error to think that our Prophet Muhammad had no wealth. Our Prophet, praise and the peace be upon him, was no poor man. Even before he was missioned to the Prophet, he was a businessman working in the employment of Lady Khadijah, the mother of the faithful. May Allah be pleased with her. He was such great assistance to her and to her business that she put him over her business. He was successful at what he did. We should know that our Prophet was a successful business person. They say that the Prophet did not have any money because he slipped on the little thin mat. He slept on a little thin mat. But many of us would benefit by such discipline. When we rise and begin our day, we will care to act. What is the financial situation of good believers? Come, we want to improve it. Take this sum from today's balance and go and invest it. Help the community. Prophet Muhammad had so much given to him and trusted to him that he just passed it out to bright, good-minded, and industrialist people. He gave great wealth to the needy of individuals and the society. That generous giving was the Prophet's investment. I have to follow my Prophet all the way. If my spirit is to be satisfied one day, I see myself saying, tell them I want to invest in the transportation business, privately owned railroad trains and commercial airplanes. I would like to see that day when I can say, how many employees do we have in that new big bank? We have more money than is needed to operate. There are no alternative investments for our consideration. Therefore, we will invest directly in more employment, build another facility to train and educate more employees, for such is the banking field. So we should know how holy and righteous business can be. All you need to do is to have your heart in the right place. Have your heart with Allah. Accept the guidance of the Quran and the life example of our Prophet and go after what is needed to establish yourself, not only spiritually, but also materially. The business of Dawah propagation education is also a prominent part of the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad through W. Dean Muhammad publications. The Muslim Journal, a Muslim business in operation since 1975, though it exhibits in Washington, D.C. at the 1994 Annual Islamic Convention, brought to view the many milestones established other riches by the Muslim community. Prepare to make it in the land of plenty. The world is loaded with good and goods and delights. There is a saying of the prophet, the peace and the blessing be upon him, about Allah's creation and the change that took place in that creation. The saying goes that Allah invited the great angel, Jibril, to witness his creation. And when Jibril beheld the creation of Allah, he said, how can anyone go wrong in this creation? Allah then showed the great angel, Jibril, his creation after Satan had altered it. Then Jibril said, oh my Lord, how can anyone go straight in this creation? So we live in a world created by Allah, but altered by the enemy. So we live in the world of natural creation and artificial creation of artificiality. So we live in Allah's creation and also in man's creation. Man's creation is not always good for us, as we know. There are issues now about the environment and so many other issues that are very important because of man's making mistakes in his work. Sometimes he has been careless in his works and in not considering the good environmental future of humanity. The world is sensible and foolish. So the world is both decent and indecent. So the world is kind of cruel. The world is peacemaker and peacebreaker. Though the world must accommodate honestly and work to preserve honesty and cannot live without honesty, the world is both honest and deceitful. The world is not incapable of converting its everything, utilities, charity, and blessings into instruments of war, war for control. America stands out amongst the nations in the most peculiar character of all nations. As I see it, it is the most dangerous land. Nevertheless, if you are strong and decent, the mighty arm of the world will not break you. But understand that you have to be prepared to make it in the land of plenty. There is need to keep an eye on what you want from yourself and the eyes of what you want from America. Many of us do not give any serious thought to what we want from ourselves, and that is the big mistake. Muslims, our religious people, are influenced by the religion to keep the eyes on self and to present self at all times in a way that would please our Lord and Maker, Allah. We are believers, and we have to always present ourselves in the way that permits us to be in a good situation for progress in the land of plenty. Since our disposition and attitude have a way of telling what we are prepared for, it makes good sense then to be prepared within and internally, remembering my father, the late leader, once saying to the great gathering of his people, I see how beautiful you are dressed without, but how are you dressed within? It is a spiritual expression where we can observe the force of sensitivity, maximize and concentrate it and direct it. Religion wants us to come into a proper spirit and to that spirit which Allah intended for his human creation. Question, a person's moral passion or intelligence and a spirit may take control over the person as situated goes around us and in us, as in the influence society we call America. Those situations become more serious, more complex, less simple for us to manage. The more complex and the serious the situation becomes around us and within us, the more we have to sharpen our senses and sensitivities. By the expression sharpened sensitivities is meant by most that we must have more experience and sensitivity. Many people live long lives but never have matured sensitivity. Those sensitivities do not seem to improve much over the period of their experiences. That is because they are a people who are absent-minded or people who have no real care. As Allah says to us, he has given us signs in the heavens and in the earth, as well as in ourselves, but most go on heedless and unaware. By sharpening sensitivity is meant discipline. Sensitivity, experience permits us to come into discipline. I was watching a program on television where an instructor in music was praising his young student who showed exceptional ability as an award program. This teacher said of that great ability that was demonstrated by this youngster, all I did was challenge the natural instincts that were created by God. What we want to understand is that Allah puts our treasures into our nature to meet the demands from without. No matter what our present life situation is, we are all created to the same excellence. However, that excellence has to have a condition and circumstances for the coming forth. Just as a plant has to have the condition and circumstances for its coming forth from the earth from a dead seed, the human being has to have the climate for success. It is called a dead seed, but it is the seed really dead? The seed is not dead, as a stone is dead. You can put the stone in the earth and the rain will come and the warmth will come and the circumstances will come, but nothing will happen. But if you put a seed in the earth, which appears to be as dead as a stone, and many seeds are called stone, something happens when the circumstances come. The seed swells and grows into a beautiful plant and a useful thing. Likewise, it is for us. A parable of the human life is all this description is plant life with all of its descriptions, Quran. So value our human creation for success. So we have to value our own creation to make it in the land of plenty. Many of our failing people in the land of plenty have no real appreciation for what they are naturally in their creation. They are fascinated and distracted so much so that they just follow shadows that are cast by things that they cannot even identify. They will just follow influences in the confused atmosphere of a generation cultured life. They follow those influences and will take their minds and personalities and behavior from those influences of the confused culture around them. So how can they make it in the land of plenty. It is possible to make it in the land of plenty with that weakness in them. So we are especially happy and excited about the fact that we have come into Al-Islam and that we are Muslim. That is, we believe that we have a situation for our life that is good. I made a trip to mainland China with a group of Americans as friends of China and America, as friends of both people. So when we arrived there, we were met by a Chinese host and finally were taken to the one who was to address us. He began his introduction saying, "The situation is good in the heavens." Well, I feel as a Muslim, that situation are good now on earth. So I don't know if I understood what he meant by saying the situation was good in the heavens, because I used to believe that the situation was always good in the heavens. The heavens were set for Allah. My heart was always contained in heaven. But now I also feel the situation is good on earth. Not only do I realize that I have a good religion, not only do I realize that I have a religion that can please humanity, I have a religion that can answer all of the needs of the men of my color or any other color. I have a religion that can accommodate the greatest desires and my greatest aspirations. I have a religion that can open doors for me that I see and doors that I have not yet seen. That is why I feel so wonderful having faith in religion and faith in my creation. I will say with all of my heart and spirit, the situation is good on earth. Returning to the need for discipline, sensitivity, through experiences, they become more fit and better prepared to survive moral, social, and financial and political confusion in the land of plenty. We are going to have plenty moral confusion, social confusion, financial confusion, and political confusion in the land of the plenty. If we were in a small country and were to go to some of the beautiful resort places for tourists in the Caribbean areas or to the Moroccans, that we do not have the same situation. In less industrialized areas, we are not threatened so much by moral confusion, social confusion, financial confusion, and by typical big city problems. Overly played up moral concerns have reduced the likelihood of us making it in the land of plenty. We can't be too moral in our religion. The rule is to guard against the extreme, because the extremes are bad. The extremes spoil a thing. The extremes will take a good thing out of its true nature. So when you go to more extremes, to a certain point or degree where you are overpaying moral life, then you have taken the moral life out of its true nature. Therefore, we have to be careful not to go after moral extremes to the extent that we overplay the importance of morality. We have prepared none, we have perhaps none known some self-righteous student down here on earth. They are not in heaven, but wants us to think that they are. Some wants to be called holy. They will go to sleep on their feet while soaking up the praise some will hold their heads high because they think that they have a moral spiritual above what is human, excellent. What they have is moral arrogance. We must be aware of moral exaggeration. Moral excellence cannot be established without a situation for a functional life of morals and intelligence. We have to have those who two work together. Allah says that if the earth had been populated by angels, then he would have sent an angel as a messenger. This is not to criticize or reject angels, for we know that angels are high in the creation of Allah. But Allah has de-emphasized the exaggeration attention that religious societies give angels' behavior prior to the advent of their prophet Muhammad. In some respect, some religious representatives are saying to become angels without our human nature is our highest goal. What I am saying is that the goal for us to become human and obedient like the angels, but don't become like the angels and turn away from the wife and the husband. Don't say, well, he can't be a friend, but no more intimate relations, for I am too holy for that. Don't become angels and operate in the dark. Man is made with eyes to see the light and to progress upon the study of the light. So we want to pursue our human destiny, and the human destiny is to be functional in this world. It is to be functional for the good of humanity. It's itself, Allah says of the Muhammad community, that you are the best community evolved for what? Allah says it is evolved for the benefit of all people. And the Prophet, the peace and the blessings be upon him, said, and the best of you is the one who benefits the people, benefit for humanity. We know that in the history of the civilizations and in the history of the civilizers, we can find no one who has come with the benefit for humanity equal to that which of Prophet brought peace and the blessings be upon Muhammad. We are not the only ones with this excitement and appreciation for his great success. Weston, written also, says that there is no one else in history who came and did so much in such a short span of time, and he had so little to work with. The Prophet came to a backward people, a people during dark ages who were a backward and even more backward than any other people at that time. They were the people called Jahilil of Arabic, or Arabia, pardon me. The Prophet came with the message of Al-Islam, with the Quran, and with the excellence that Allah created him to be. And it was the revelation and the Prophet that transformed the backward society of Arabia, and Arabia was brought up to be the brilliant jewel of this earth in a time of ignorance, slavery, savagery, and in a time of all kinds of abuse, human life. We know what religion can do. We have it in history. We have a clear history of the successes and power of religion. And we are happy to be in this religion and to invest those who are not in it to examine the Quran and to study. We are not demagogues. We are not a people who will deprive you of your freedom of thought. Muslims do not ask anyone to believe because we believe. We want you to believe because you have used your good intelligence and your good virtue, and you have looked at it with for yourself, and you have decided upon the test of your virtues and upon the test of your good intelligence that this is the virtuous religion and that this is the intelligent religion that you would like. Whatever we do should testify to the glory and the greatness of Allah. Isn't that what the Christian hymn says? Praise God with your life. Praise God with everything you do. We have to appreciate working for the pleasures of Allah. When you work for the pleasures of Allah, you are working for the maximum good for self and others. Now, what makes us something infective? You will say, I don't see any results. The reason is we are not prepared to get the results. We have Muslims amongst us who have never been satisfied with their preparedness. They always want to become better prepared, always makes an effort or at least desire better for the yourselves with the next opportunity. So if it is for something real, do not lose the desire, nourish the desire, and love the desire. And in time, the virtual power of the desire itself will bring about the action prepared to do better. Our society in the land of plenty does not honorably value children of parents. How can obedience be expected of children when parents are discredited? We all of the principles of respect and credit is taken away from the parents. It seems to be an international effort to break the respectful bond which holds parents and children together in a natural working, socially functioning relationship. The establishment will address the children on matters of thought. The children are grown and independent from position on the school campus or on the television. They will be speaking to youngsters and telling youngsters that they have to do something to protect themselves. So you have to buy condoms. You have to get sex education. The establishment has gone so far as to push children to disobey parents' wishes. I have witnessed the establishment changing the behavior spirit of children by telling them, if your parent denies something or speak harshly to you, they do not have to beat you physically. But if they are guilty of just verbal abuse, you can report them to the law. That is not the way of our to solve America's social problem. You must have a meeting with parents first. You must try to educate parents first. And if you can't educate parents and those parents defy your every attempt, then you tell those parents, now we are going to tell the children that we respected their parents and ask them to address sex behavior in order to save children from graduation and for happy marriages. But even at this sad stage in the matter, still respect the parents and tell them, we are going to do the best we can to keep the respect. We will word our language in the best way we possibly can. There are always enough heedful parents in cities to answer a call by the establishment requesting that the parent form a first parent front for calling the children of the city to accept the meaning of sex in the social establishment content. Our religion teaches us never go in by the back door, go in by the front door. Never call on the house and not address the adults. You must address the adults. Members of the public do not speak to children when the adults are away. You have to respect the adults of the house. So this is what our society has not done. Too many Americans have lost good sense of respect for establishment. Establishing the values. Allah established the way when He created us. Conditioned treasures are Allah's way. Also, the children are to be respected. Our religion does not leave us without proper regard for children. Religion, however, also stresses obedience in children for their parents, although Allah the Most High says in the Quran, if your parents contend with you to get you to associate with Allah that which is not any support in knowledge, do not obey them, but keep good relationships with them in this world. Our religion is considerate and rational. Before us is Allah, the Lord of the world, addressing us. How many of us in our position of authority and power, leadership, could say, child, if your parents do not accept my leadership, then don't follow them in that, but still keep good relations with them. Most with power and leadership, if the child comes to them and say, my parents said that you are to be rejected, their response would be, yourself against your parents. Isn't that the typical of revelation? The climate of tyrants and balanced revolution. Muslims have a revolution. Al-Islam is a revolution. It is the most criticized revolution. We are not asked to go out and kill parents and fight parents because they tell their children to reject Al-Islam. Allah says, don't obey parents in false worship, but keep good relationships with them in this world. Muslims ought to be peacemakers. Be not aggressive. And if those who fight you incline towards peace, incline yourself also. Our people attacked our religion. People attacked Prophet Muhammad. Peace and the blessing be upon the Christ Prophet Jesus. They called Jesus and others mad. The Prophet did not come out and say, kill them. Meccans persecuted, boycotted, and caused Prophet Muhammad to leave Mecca, his hometown. So when the Prophet was able to really kill his enemy, he announced a period of forgiveness and said, all offenses of the past are forgiven. So there are people here who had done cruel and horrible things to Muhammad the Prophet and his family, to his friends, and to others of his following. In this same town, upon achieving victory, the Prophet said, all past offenses are forgiven. Let there be no more bloodshed letting. Firmness, but also forgiveness, is the way of our Prophet. So when we are sadly following his character, we present a one view of the Prophet and a one-sided view of the religion. I believe many of us do this in ignorance. Many of us have lived so long in a crusade atmosphere where the sword and the crescent are in the conflict. We have lived so long in that atmosphere that there has developed a kind of cross and crescent fixation and proverb. So I have been told that if one resources has religion, after saying he is the believer, that person is to be killed. Agreed? if it is referring to wartime and to turncoats, civilized armies will come and martyr and kill turncoats in these modern times. If a soldier supports the other side, he risks being killed. These times are different. What about a situation where a person just came to a meeting, heard a sermon on the religion, and got excited and said, yes, I believe, and I would like to be a Muslim today. And that person recites the Shahada or the oath of faith without knowing the religion. Then tomorrow he runs into a preacher of another religion who says to him, come to God, just say that you believe. That person then says, yes, I believe. Now you want to go out and you want to kill him? We need people with good, clean minds, with love for humanity, to see what Allah is saying in his holy book and then give us the right understanding. We need to be a bit of cautious. Today, many traditional authorities think that they are products of the Quran and products of the life of the Prophet. But many do not see a problem in their words, wounds, and sensitivity. They are victims of the influence of cultures of foreign occupation. They are victims of foreigners who come to their land and change their institutions, change also their way of looking at the Quran, and change their ways of looking at Muhammad the Prophet. Many are victims of countries, centuries of occupation, and are not qualified to tell what Allah says. So when I hear someone coming out, when I hear someone is coming out and that does not sound decent for human beings, I reject it. If I don't find any support for it in the Quran, I reject it. I have read in a Muslim publication that the Jews and the Christians are kafirs, infidels. We want our complaints to the country of the organizations. We are working hard here to bring sense and respect to our religion as it is viewed by Americans. We want to appeal to them and show them that the true picture of our religion, we have worked and had accomplished a lot. We have people who are looking at this religion and appreciating we are living in a new time with a new circumstances. Allah says in the Quran, say we have no contention with you people of the book. Our contention is with the idol worshiper. That is the teachings of the Quran. And it is the way of the Prophet. When the government was established in Medina, the proclamation came and the guarantees the freedom and the right of the Jews to go on practicing their religion the way they had before. The same was granted to the Christians. Since then, civilized Muslim leaders and nations have carried on that excellent tradition. Christians live in Muslim land. Jews live in Muslim land. There are long periods of productive life during the historical of Muslim Spain. There in Spain where Jews and Christians and Muslims all living together and working together and preparing together under Muslim rule. America's vision of destiny continent has been called divine destiny. It came here from Europe to realize the manifest destiny. What inspired it, I believe, was messages of their Christian scriptures and the wisdom of their great philosophers and teachers. And I also strongly respect that they had students and great life of perpetuous Muslim Spain. It is a pity that their achievement was lost. It was lost because of the intolerance on the part of European nations that were jealous. They were jealous to the extent that they found out ignorant prejudged to fuel the crusade. What I say is not any Christian, pardon me, what I say is not any cynicism of Christianity. They were not living their Christianity. They were still in the grips of their ancestral savages and in the ignorance. America has become influenced recently to see certain Muslims, leaders and Muslim figures as members of a strange psychological makeup. I don't see the Palestinian armed forces as monsters. I don't see them as victims of monsters. In my opinion, these monsters were human before driven mad by human treatment. Human beings do not take on a monstrous image until forces by circumstances beyond their control. Another lesson of history, Southern man versus Northern man. I have grown to look differently at the Southern white, European American, man of the once cruel South. I have grown to look at that time and the circumstances to see also what as victim, I have grown to lay blame on the Northern man, on the Southern man. As long as we have the explosive sensitivity most of us have, we are not going to make it in the land of plenty. The reason why we have troubling and crippling sensitivity is that we ourselves are victims of our plight. We should know that many were reject of Europe who was established over in the South. Many were let out of prison if they would agree to work for landowners in the New World, America. They were free. Much of this abuse lost of the European settlers in the South. The better education and the more wealthy settled mostly in the New England area. America grew up the New England area and the Southern states. The less victimized was settled in the New England region. So the victim of Europe's moral horrible abuses settled in the South. So when we study their history, we see many whites were abused in the way they abused us. They are African slaves. What they inflicted upon us was inflicted upon them in their European land by those of their race who were their masters. Many of them were unprepared to treat themselves or others as human beings. They were often themselves criminals and social rejects in the eye of other whites. There were great minds amongst the Southerners, but they were majority were victims of a horrible past. I look at them now and I have a different attitude. It is amazing that this mistreated lot of whites did as well as they did. Both are survivors, retaining their human nature, goodness, a deeply scarred people, while yet filtering should not have been given charge over our race. Babies born to slavery were put in the custody of those victims of European cruelty. from south is master, so was at the mercy of the master formed by the hands of the history as victim. Have you heard the story of the last lost boy who was found in the woods? He lived and survived amongst animals. When did he discredit? He discovered him. He was behaving like an animal. He could not speak. It was the same for a child born into America, peculiar slavery. If you know the history of that infamous period, you will know it was forbidden for anyone to give a slave any literature. Slaves were not permitted to read a Bible. They were not permitted to have anything come to them of that of true history. Nothing was permitted to come to the slave except what would serve to keep the slave in subhuman animal condition. Now, knowing the circumstances which has a role in shaping the southern man, and knowing that the circumstances which favored the northern man, I have come to know how the northern man played the master against the slave and the slave against the master. The northern man did that for his own selfish exploit. So I know how the northern man won the Civil War, occupied his southern brother land, and then used blacks in Reconstruction to rub salt into his brother's wounds by putting the slave in a position of authority. So the northern man made the slave the soldier in command, and the white man of the South had to come under that free slave to get permission to certain things. So when the North occupied the South, the Northern put members of our race in position of authority over whites. We may be foolish enough to say that is what they deserve, but the white man of the North plan for the African American and for the white South, he knew it was not good for our future to put us over southern whites suffering the bitterness of defeat. The southern whites was the southern white man was already saying our own people have killed us, wounded us, dominated us, occupied our land. The real reason for the Civil War was the freedom of the free enterprise system. The Northerners knew that putting slaves over members would make a relationship for the freed slaves with former masters impossible. Salakallahu Ladeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Ubay. We will continue this next week on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Inshallah, it only means that it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Marad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us. Bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.